Every industry has experts, but only a handful become that go-to person that everyone calls when things are uncertain. My guest today has spent her career helping others take that leap. She is a five-time author and founder of Three Dog Right, one of the most relentlessly helpful people I know. Lisa teaches business owners, speakers, and consultants how to unleash their authority power, to build presence so strong that when somebody says, "I need help," you're the person that comes top of mind. In this conversation today, what I'm hoping to get from Lisa is having her talk a little bit about becoming that person of authority, clarity, generosity, and trust, those three things that people say, "You are my go-to." Lisa, welcome to Speaking with Authority.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to have you here. It's wonderful to be here. Yeah.
So you built a reputation as an authority on authority.
That's right.
Before Three Dog Right, you spent years working with some of the biggest marketing and publishing firms. Let me ask you this. When did you realize that traditional approach to content and branding just wasn't working and there had to be a better way?
So I would say that when I first started with Fortune 500s, I was naive to a fault. I had witnessed growing up in a family business with my parents. They owned a local drugstore, and my father was always the authority, and I didn't label it as such. I just thought, this is the way people are. You have your area of genius, people come to you, and you help them. Very, very simple formula. And when I started in Fortune 500s, I applied the same logic. And I think anyone can do this, whether you are just starting out in your career, because I was just starting out, you're at the lowest part of the totem pole. If you understand your area of genius and you leverage that to make sure that you are always providing value through that lens, people will be attracted to your authority power. It will be a magnet of people wanting to seek you out. I had, you know, chairmen of the board, secretaries of the president, never the president calling me, but the secretary of the president calling me saying, so-and-so would like to talk to you. And I honestly thought that was just how things were done. Because if you have an area of genius, someone who needs help will reach out to you and ask you for that assistance. And it doesn't matter what your title is. It doesn't matter, you know, how new you are in the company. It doesn't matter. You have this authority and you are attracting those types of people. And I found out very fast when I got written up twice that that is not normal. But I thought, why wouldn't this be the way it should be? Why wouldn't you want people to raise their hand and say, I need help. How can you help me? Versus what are your features and benefits? Well, how much is it going to be? Well, what's the blah, 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 you know, not those types of conversations. Actually saying, I need help. Can I throw a bunch of money at you? How does this work?
That makes sense to me. I love that. So when you think about this behind the scenes, when you think about most business owners, what do they never realize? What's kind of a blind spot that they have?
A lot of the clients that I work with have, I would say, two major blind spots. Number one, they don't understand the problem that they truly solve, what business they're truly in. That's first and foremost. I'm in helping people to become the absolute go-to in their industry so that whenever there's a question about an issue, they are the person that gets called. No one hires me, or I should say, no one wakes up in the middle of the night saying, I need someone to help me with my LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I need someone to help me write my website content. That is not a 3 a.m. panic attack. That doesn't happen. What they do panic about is, I am not sure how I'm going to hit my revenue goal this month. I've been spending all this money on marketing and I'm getting no leads in. So what problem do you truly solve? And it gets down to the very basic understanding of what problem you solve. And that's the business that you are in. So that's first. And once you understand that, and I've seen my clients go through this, and it's almost breathtaking to watch that they start to look at how they show up through that lens, which means they're always thinking about the value they provide to their audience. Always. What exactly am I talking about? And how am I providing value at every single turn? And I've actually had a couple of clients recently who are like, oh my God, I switched what I was doing and I got more leads in or more requests to work with us in a 24-hour period than I had the 3 months prior to that.
I love that.
And I'm always apologetic. And I'm always like, oh yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah, this is instantaneous and it's your opening floodgates. It becomes almost a tsunami. It's unbelievable to watch this happen. But once you get that clarity, that's where they struggle. That's where they struggle.
Yeah, I the very wise man, Steve Cochran, told me, he said, look, Jim, you want to be a painkiller. You don't want to be a, he's English. He says, you don't want to be a vitamin. Or you say it in the States, a vitamin.
That's
so,
right.
So painkiller, I have this pain. I've got to solve this right now. You don't want to be a vitamin. So I really, really like that. Now, let me ask you, when you decided to start your own agency, talk to me about your vision. Tell me about what you were thinking and what, you know, when you looked at the industry, you know, what did you want to stand for that others in the industry just weren't delivering?
So when I started my business, I had actually been working on it part-time before I actually got the EIN, got the website, decided on the name, decided on the logo, all that stuff. I was actually already doing the work. And I found that helping companies with a point of view with my content, because I was actually a blogger when I first started. So I have a big mouth and a lot of opinions and I'm not afraid to share them. And I got paid good money to, in the words of Ellen Malcolm Moore, bitch slap people into truth.
Mm.
Right? It was very in your face. This is, you know, let's not beat around the bush here. You're looking to make money. You're investing in different things and they're not working. Why is that? And giving that point of view in a very cutting yet compassionate way. I like to say I give you a hug and a shove. I didn't necessarily have a vision of the problem I was solving. I just knew that I knew a different way of doing things, and I wanted others to learn that so that they could have a different outcome. That's all I actually really cared about. And as I went through my career with that agency, with Three Dog Right, I fell into a more traditional business model. I became a full-service consulting agency. We did soup to nuts. I had a team of 15, and I was losing that edge, that differentiator, that authority, because it was a Me Too strategy. Oh, we can do that too. We can do that too. We can do that too. And while I was making money in a gross revenue standpoint, I was working a ton of hours and I wasn't happy. And my net revenue, my ODI, my owner disposable income was like very small. And I thought, well, this is not why I went into business for myself. Mm-hmm. I went into business for myself to have influence and impact and to have some work-life balance. If I was going to work 80, 90 hours a week, I'd go back into Fortune 500s. At least I'm getting a steady paycheck and I'm killing myself, but at least I know the revenue is coming every time.
Right, right.
And in 2023, I actually blew up my business. And I went back to basics, which was the best thing I could have done.
Mm.
Ironically, started over because I had, in a lot of ways, I had grown, but in a lot of ways, I had lost my core area of genius of why people wanted to work with me and hire me. And when I stripped everything away, that's when I realized, oh, you actually help people establish their authority. And I had layered all sorts of stuff on top of it, thinking, oh, I'm in the business of building websites and helping with SEO. And no, it's not the business you're in. So I even made that mistake.
Yeah.
And I had to strip stuff away and get back to basics.
I like that. You built a company around helping others define what they want to be known for. I like that.
That's
so
exactly
you
it.
You teach clients to identify the area of genius, the core thing that they should be known for. Why is it so hard for leaders to define that?
So I think a lot of traditional marketing tenets, for lack of a better word, are based on a product or service and features and benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine back, you know, pre-digital age. We're now in a digital revolution where having that human connection has been lost.
Mm.
We had the ability to still connect on a human level because we had to. You couldn't hide behind a screen. You had to talk to someone on the phone. You had to physically go and sell to somebody. And those types of conversations worked because there was still that human element involved. Companies are now trying to talk about features and benefits when they're competing against not just people in their area, but people all around the world. 2 million of their closest competitors are now in the same space. And that crowdedness has made it impossible, if you're focused just on that, to rise above the digital noise.
Okay.
And the only differentiator you get in that kind of a space is price. I can attest that when you start cutting your price, it is a race to the bottom. And I've watched people do it. I've watched people cut it so low that they were actually losing money on the work. I thought to myself, that is insane. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I think that, leaders struggle with it is they don't have somebody to help them get clarity on the pain or the problem that they solve. So there's an old saying that no one wants a 3/8 drill bit. They want a hole. But the drill bit is the tool to get them the hole. And so when you talk about salespeople not understanding what they're selling, they want to go to the pitch, and they don't understand, how do I uncover the pain? How do I uncover the problem? How do I uncover that? It's really difficult for them to think about, how do I approach my messaging in that way? Do you find that true?
Oh, absolutely. I think part of it is when you have to uncover the person's pain or what their future success point looks like, if you want to flip it 180 degrees, it means that you have to listen first.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be about you. It has to be about the other person.
Right.
And I don't know about you. I don't know how many LinkedIn emails you get a day where it's a War and Peace novel of all the stuff that they offer.
Yeah.
And it's just a laundry list. And then they ask for time to continue to sell to you.
Yeah.
That, you know, okay, so what's in it for me? And they think, oh, well, what's in it for you is you get all these products or all these services. No.
Mm-hmm.
What's truly in it for me? And when you lead with that, where you're talking about what you need first. I need you to buy my product. I need this sale to hit my numbers, to hit my revenue goals, whatever. Then your audience member, you can have them on a revolving wheel of whoever's in there, and it's the same pitch, which, you know, maybe that's great for you. And you're like, oh, well, I've got this pitch down and I just say the same thing over and over. When you ask someone, take the time to actually hear the other person and see if you're even the right fit, they're like, oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
No, that's that connection. And that's building that trust.
Do you have any insights on how to teach, once owners define this or leaders define this or people you're working with define what their superpower is? Do you have any insights on how to teach them to do a good elevator pitch?
My business coach, Mark LeBlanc, calls it a defining statement. And okay. I absolutely love it because it removes the I trap. In an elevator trip, in an elevator pitch, it's I do this and I do that and I do this. When you use a defining statement instead, and I teach this all the time with my clients, you say, I work with, and then you define who your right fit client is.
Mm-hmm.
So now your audience goes, you work with authors, you work with speakers. I'm an author, I'm a speaker. So they're already connecting with you. And then you say, who want to fill in the blank? So you're making it about them. You start with I work with, and that's the only time you ever say it. I work with authors and speakers who want to unleash their authority power so that, what's my result? What's the outcome? So that they become the clear go-to in their industry for the problem that they solve. It's always about them. That to me is better. Now, I know some people will say, well, when I do an elevator pitch, I want to say, well, I'm the CEO. Like I could say, I'm the editor in chief at Indie Books International. Okay, sure.
But does
let's
that mean?
Talk about, yeah, what does that mean? And think about again what your audience does with the information. This goes into psychology. If I say, I'm the CEO of such and such company, they glom on the word CEO. And they put you in that folder. There is no differentiator to them as to what that means. You are now in a folder with millions of other potential CEOs. They can't differentiate you out.
That's good. Well, it's really interesting. You know, you brought up this. Forgive me for interrupting. I want to go hone in on this. Do you know what a user story is?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a user story basically for our audience who doesn't understand is it's the key clarifying statement that you're telling developers what this feature is about. As a accountant, I want to so that I can. And so that is such a clarifying statement that if I give it to a programmer, they know the intent, they know everything about it. They don't have to get into the how. They'll figure that how out. But if they know that, it's a great point of starting. And so one of my favorite ones was, as somebody who likes money, I want a website that generates $1 million a month so that I can live like royalty. And I kind of have a little fun with that to say, now if we bring a little more clarity to it, we can understand exactly how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I like that a lot. So when they get it right, how does that clarity translate into business results?
You get the trifecta. I like to call it the Bermuda Triangle of success.
Mm-hmm.
You get more leads, more conversions, quicker, at a higher dollar value. So you get more people saying yes, faster, for more money.
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't want that? So I can give you an example. One of my clients, he sells licenses for an online curriculum, has been doing it for 20, 25 years, long time. Great program, love it. He had been focusing on, you get one license to maybe five. But when he switched his conversations around his authority and the value he provides, he started to have conversations with larger organizations who understood this could actually help me with my team. This is great. And he called me up. It was on Labor Day. I'd only been working with him for a couple of months. I said, oh my God, I had to call you. And I love those conversations. I love it when they start because I know it's got something good in it. And he said, I had a conversation on Friday with this much larger client. And they had purchased 700 licenses. And then over the weekend, they thought about it and they contacted him and said, you know, we don't think we want to do 700 licenses. We've thought about it. We really need 2,000. Is that something you can accommodate? And he paused 3 seconds for dignity. And then he said, absolutely. So they thought about the impact it would have in their business so much that they sold themselves over almost tripling their order.
Mm-hmm.
That's authority. That's power. And he's
like
I've never seen that happen. And I'm like, oh yeah, I should have told you. This becomes the norm because people are either willing to engage with you and then they bring others in to the conversation to be like, hey, this person knows what they're doing. I have another client. She had a similar experience. She had been struggling just by switching that focus and having it through the lens of how her company provides value to others.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she sent me an email. She goes, I had no idea it would be this fast. And I was like, oh yeah, sorry. I should have told you that. It's actually almost instantaneous, the change that happens. She had more requests for proposals from one conversation that she had, one in-person meeting than she had had for 3 months prior.
Hmm. That's beautiful.
And I'm like,
I see that in that same pattern in leadership. You know, when people know exactly who they are and what they stand for, their teams tend to rally behind them because there's clarity and confidence, and it breeds confidence, you know, in a lot of areas. Now, one thing I admire about you, Lisa, is how generous you are with your expertise. You host Tackle Tuesdays, published on LinkedIn, that newsletter, and offer open office hours to all at no cost. Why do you give so much away?
I have such a vast amount of genius that even having a 30-minute free consult call, having my LinkedIn newsletter, doing podcasts, doing webinars, doing live interviews, selling my books, it only scratches the surface. And I actually have to be careful because I have so much information. I don't want to fire hose the person on the other side of the screen. So I have to be very, very, I have to make sure that what I'm sharing gets heard, gets understood, and gets applied. And because of that, I'm happy to give stuff away because I'm here because I want businesses to have unprecedented success without having to struggle every day, having every day that they wake up go, wow, I have these amazing right fit clients, people that respect me, people that pay on time, people that are awesome. And I look at my schedule and I go, oh my God, this is going to be a great day. And they have more people who raise their hand and say, how do I work with you? I want everyone to experience that. I have been in the opposite end of that spectrum, as everybody has, right? Where you've had, let's call them South Star clients, where they are absolutely horrific to work with. Mm-hmm. And from the word go, and you've accepted them because you feel like I'm in a famine and I have to take whatever I get. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I totally understand it because I have been there. But by applying my authority, by unleashing my authority power, I have been able to shift that narrative for myself and for my clients so that it's like a clearing that happens and they can just see the clients coming towards them and they go, this is so much better. And then they're not panicking.
Yeah.
And then they're not picking clients that are horrible because they're like, oh, if I don't take this, am I going to not have revenue for the next month? And again, I get it. Investing in that authority power. And when you do that, being generous with your knowledge feels almost second nature. You almost feel like you're giving back to the universe because you know you're going to get fulfilled. And I love that for my clients.
Yeah. I think, you know, generous, I think it's important to be generous with your knowledge and your wisdom. And that's how we get good at things, especially as a speaker. You go out and you speak for free to get good at speaking. And you give it away. You make a lot of videos for free. You do a lot of work for free. That's how you get good at something. I remember working and trying to look always at that return on investment of my investment of time. But what I found was I can be generous to a fault And where I need to protect myself is, I don't mind having coffee with you. I'll have coffee with you a second time. But the third time, this is how I feed my family. This is, right. You know, I can't do unpaid consulting or unpaid coaching or anything like that. I do mentor business owners. I take one every 3 years and I go through a vetting process like you wouldn't believe. And most of the business owners that I vet have multiple employees, are doing millions of dollars a year to where I can help mentor them. But I'll take one person on for a 3-year period to mentor them. If they were going to hire me as a consultant, it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
But everyone always says, can you do this pro bono? I said, sure, absolutely. Here, get in line. I'm going to be talking to about 15 every 3 years. And always one to do for free. So I like that generosity. I think that's really, really good. You call yourself relentlessly helpful. How has that mindset shaped your reputation and revenue?
So I've always had a brand of being relentlessly helpful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And because of that, people know that I stand for their success. I'm okay. there to serve them more than I serve myself. And I agree okay. with you. I also am generous to a fault. However, I believe that by having that generosity of spirit and helping people to try to at least get the needle moving to some degree, that will come back. And it could be someone who just needs a little bit of assistance with something I know how to do. And then they evangelize on my behalf. I'm part of a group called Leadership Global, which I absolutely love. And one of the women I met in there, her name is Laura Patterson, amazing woman. I had a coffee chat with her and we were talking about her LinkedIn newsletter and how she's struggling with doing it and she doesn't know how to set it up. And I said, you know what? Let's get on a call. I'll spend 15 minutes with you, help you set it up, help get it set up, talked about what she's going to put in it, helped her get it going. She has tens of thousands of followers on LinkedIn.
Wow.
She is now in Camp Lisa and she tells everybody to hire me.
That's
wonderful. You can't pay for that kind of advertising. Now, yeah. She's never going to hire me. She doesn't need my assistance. But I helped her through something that had been keeping her up at night. Should I do this? How should I do this? Crap. And she was struggling and I was able to, I asked questions. I didn't tell her what to do. I asked questions. She went, oh yeah, you know, you're right. And I should do this and I should do that. And I just helped lead her down that path. 15 minutes of my time. No big deal. I can tell you right now, she has referred at least 3 people to me that have hired me.
Lisa, that's wonderful. That is excellent. I love that.
Yeah. So it's, and again, I agree with you. I always do a free 30-minute consult call. Always, 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 always. And I do that for 2 reasons. I want to see number one, how coachable you are.
Yeah.
That's kind of key. If you're going to resist me, then it's going to be a waste of your money and your time. And that's not going to work for me. And number two, I want to see how serious you are. Are you truly in the camp of whatever it takes? Are you going to say, you know what? What I've been doing has not worked and I need to do something else. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to do it and do it fully and completely and transformatively to see what comes up. And if I'm getting resistance, if I'm getting, you know, we'll do this or do that, or, you know, like you said, someone who's just looking for free stuff. I give away a bunch of free stuff. I want to work with people who want to win. And I know that's selfish. But if they win, I feel like I've won. And I want people who are like, heck yeah, I want to get in there. I want to get my hands dirty. I want to blow stuff up. And I want to see what I can really disrupt and transform and see how it comes out on the other end. And having that consult call allows me to do that. And I treat it as if they've already hired me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a better conversation in my mind. They don't have to sell me. I'm not there to sell them. I'm there to help them move the needle, whatever that looks like. And, you know, I have gotten so many amazing clients that way. And I've gotten evangelists along the way, which are worth their weight in gold. are worth their weight in gold.
I love that. I love that. Now, one of the things I think you've talked a little bit about, you know, in this uncertain times, you've said we're kind of in an unpredictable business climate, one of the most unpredictable ones you've ever seen. So why is an authority such a stabilizing force right now?
Because we're in such a weird time. I mean, It has just been so topsy-turvy. And you have the unpredictability of the economy, and then you also get to throw new technology into the mix. You get to throw AI into the mix. So yay, we get a double dose of horribleness. Yay, fantastic. And no one knows what's happening. People are risk averse to such a degree right now.
Okay.
It's that I know I have to do something, and I'm afraid to choose. Because what if I choose wrong? And what will that do to my business? I've watched people go out of business. I am super fearful that if I choose the wrong person, I could be the next one who's, you know, filing for bankruptcy. Anything's possible. Nothing is off the table at this point. By investing in your authority, you're helping people to see who you serve and what problem you solve. You're investing in the relationship early and often, and it will pay dividends to you because you are helping people to see your consistent brand, how you show up in a consistent way. You're helping them see how you help people because you're hopefully giving some stuff away for free. And you're also showing them how your area of genius is transformative, is disruptive, and allows them to experience that. I like to say we're trying to move away from er language. I'm cheaper. I'm better. I'm faster. No, you're so much more than that. And I was actually on a live TV show earlier today, and one of the guests said, when you're looking at AI, you should think about it as actual intelligence, what you actually bring to the table versus what is on ChatGPT or Claude or pick your AI of choice. And I love that idea, this idea of actual intelligence, because you have a very unique standpoint and an area of genius that I believe could transform someone's problem into a completed solution that they no longer have to think about, which will open them up for so much more growth. And those are the conversations I want people to have. But you can't do it if you're not investing in your authority and saying, I'm claiming this area of genius. This is what I want to be known for. This is, if I got my hands on that problem, ooh, I could take it down. And I know I can. And when you know you have that area of genius, it's so much easier to have those types of conversations with your future clients.
I like that. I like that. You know, you also, I think this is from you, but you've introduced a phrase called a thought fellowship. Can you?
That is through Henry DeVries and Colt Briner, but yes, thought fellowship. So it's this idea
thought followership. Thought followership. Explain that to
me. Thought fellowship.
How's that different than leadership?
It's very different than leadership. So when you are serving, again, this goes back to this idea of it's not about me, it's about them.
Okay.
When you think about your audience, your future client, and what they need from you, how are you showing up to help them? How are you showing up to serve them? So it's not look at me, look at me. It's here's information that I know will help you move the needle. It makes it about your audience instead of you. And there's a lot of power in that. When you're showing up first to serve your clients, that's thought followership. And again, I go back to the last five LinkedIn in-mails that you got were probably people saying, I'm great at this. That's thought leadership, but it's all about them and there's no ability to stand with them. If you can't stand with your future clients, how can you stand for them? How can you help them move into that future success point?
Okay. So let's do this. Let's do something fun. You want to do something fun?
I would love to do something fun.
Okay. So pretend that I have a website and here's what I do. I help companies with leadership, culture, people development, consulting, coaching. Great. 10,000 other people do that. How would I find, ask me some questions to help me discover my authority, my uniqueness.
Have you, first and foremost, have you documented your process of how you take them to that future success point?
Have I documented my process? Well, it's different in different areas. So okay. Are you hiring me as a consultant? Or are you hiring me as a coach? Do you need me to come in and, are we developing software? Are we improving manufacturing? Are we working with the sales team? I'm not sure what we're doing.
So then let me ask you this. If I waved a magic wand and I said you could only, and again, this is hyper, I'm not saying you have to do this, but I'm making you choose.
Okay.
If I waved a magic wand and said, for the rest of your career, you'd only be able to solve this problem. And you don't have to answer right now because you actually might have to think.
I can answer it right now.
Perfect. Okay. So what would that be for you?
Productivity.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit more about what you mean by productivity.
Let me give you context and have you clarified. Okay. So as a business owner, as somebody who's built several businesses, one of the things that I found is I could have a massive payroll and the results from that payroll varied from entity to entity. And what I paid somebody, they were super productive or they weren't productive. And I found that my skill set was how to get teams really, really super productive. And so what that meant was people would come to me and they would be builders, construction, they would be software development companies, they would be manufacturing companies, they would be, have sales. And one of the pain points for software was, Jim, it seems like we're always 80% done and I'm always 100% over budget. Why is that? And I said, I can tell you 90% of the time what it's going to be. It's a culture thing. It's a leadership thing. But when I go deeper, there's reasons why your culture's off and there's reasons why your leadership is off. And so those are the pain points that somebody has. It's like, I've already spent hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars more than what I budgeted. We've already missed the deadline. There's pain in that. There's a lot of pain in that. And I've had several situations where I've been the turnaround specialist to fix that. There are hirings, firings, developments, leadership, and all that other stuff. But now I can't just say, well, I do leadership consulting. I do, culture development. I do people development, because it's a fat word. Everyone does that, So I'm trying to say, okay, my superpower is helping teams be really, really productive. How do I convey that message?
So, and it's interesting because I actually see the similarities with the problem that you talked about. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you have language around the problem. Not hitting deadlines, over budget, never quite completing the project. We're always 80% of the way there. And there is a culture within software, within builders, within construction, that you should assume that it's going to be double the price and double the timeline, right? That we should just expect that. If you're quoted 4 weeks at 10,000, expected to be 8 weeks and 20,000, which is insane. That we're telling the customer, well, just that's the way the business works. So you've pinpointed that it's around the people aspect within that, that they actually could hit the deadline and the budget. But there is something internally that is happening where this mediocrity is almost baked into the hiring, the training, the production, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you work with, and I'm just going to I'm going to quickly try to do a defining statement here. So you work with, I'm going to say, builders of either physical or digital products who want to actually adhere to budget and timeline parameters without adding additional staff. Because normally that's what they say. Oh, well, if we want to get it done early.
Yeah.
Or we want to get it done on time. I need to put four more, you know, crews on this, or I need to, you know, bring three more developers in, which of course you're going to make the customer pay for, because it's not like you're going to do the work for free. So if you want to hit deadlines with the same human resource element so that you are one of the few who actually completes things on time and on budget. And that doesn't have to be a abnormality to do. Like, oh my God, it's a miracle. We hit the budget. And that's something that I can see an owner, a project manager, especially someone who is going to be talking to the client about, hey, so, you know, we said we'd have that done on Friday. Remember how we said we'd have that done for this amount? Horrible conversations to have. And I know those individuals wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, oh my God, I'm going to have a conversation with this client who will complete the project and then hate us all the way through. And then not only never work with us again, but then badmouth us to everybody.
Yeah. Well, you've helped me bring some real clarity to that. You are brilliant. You are good at this, Lisa. You are.
I've done it once or twice.
You are really good at this. I wanted to give somebody a practical application instead of talking through it. So I gave a specific key. You gave me a couple insights that were kind of like, if you look at a combination code, I might have five of those combination things tweaked in, but you helped me move that last one a couple numbers. And so it's closer to unlocking. This is really good.
That's fantastic.
That's why you are the author and the expert in these areas. So let me ask you the next question. Practical authority building. Let me think about practical. When you're listening to a CEO, consultant, entrepreneur, what's the first step they need to take to start building their authority power?
So I am very intentional with my language.
Okay.
And I always say unleash versus build or grow or create. Because everyone has authority within them in an area of genius that is just clawing to get out.
Okay.
And I like to look at it as if you're watching a origin story for a superhero.
Okay.
And they don't know what kind of superpower they have, and they're in just crazy, horrible circumstances, and the odds are stacked against them, and then all of a sudden they just went, yeah, I got the superpower, and they just crush everything. Everyone has that ability. So it's not about building. It's not about creating. It's about truly unleashing. It's getting out of your own way and unleashing that authority.
So what's the first steps there? How do you get them to go down that path and unleash it?
It is a habit. What problem do you solve, and who do you work with? Who do you want to be known to, and what do you want to be known for? Those two questions, I keep going back to that, but those are highly critical to understand what your area of genius is. And just like I asked you, if I was going to wave a magic wand and say, you could only solve this problem for the rest of your career, every single day that you show up for your job, this is the only thing you get to do. That's it. Nothing else. People are pretty quick to decide that would be this. Okay. So then the other things that you offer, how do they support or detract from that area of genius?
How do they support or detract that area of genius? That's good. Now, tell me how you help people identify that.
So I have a proprietary process of going through. I have a work DNA worksheet that I have them fill out. And then I just start asking them a series of questions. And once they start to think about, why did I go into business? What was the origin story? What was the aha moment that had me go, you know, I really should offer this to everybody because this is something that everyone needs to do. And going through a series of questions helps them get clarity around that. And like I said, my business, I started, and then I added all sorts of layers that I thought were helping, and they actually distracted me from my original goal, which was around content and authority. It's always been around content and authority. I just never really realized it. I was like, oh, throw video production in there, throw SEO in there. But that doesn't help. It distracted me from my area of genius. It was things that didn't help. And once they understand what lens it is that their audience can see them through, all of their content should be going through that lens. And I mean all of it. Every interview, every comment, every post, every website, every book, everything should always be through that lens. And I tell them, you know, when we figure out what your area of genius is, we can figure out what some of your magic words and phrases are. These are, like mine is the authority on authority power. It's short, it's quotable. If a journalist got their hands on it, they'd be like, awesome. And it's repeatable. And I'll tell you this, my boyfriend makes fun of me because I use the word authority all the time. And I don't know if you've seen the South Park episode where he's like, where Cartman's like, you will respect my authority. And so he makes fun of me for that. However, if he was here and I brought him over and you say, what does Lisa do? He would be able to say she's the authority on authority power. It's working. So you have to find your area of genius and your catchphrase, right? Your magic word and phrase, and you have to use it everywhere. And I told one of my clients, when you feel like I'm sick of this word or this phrase, you're about 40% of the way there. People have to hear it now 70 to 80 times before they go, oh, do you do something with authority? You have to repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over. And every opportunity you have to highlight it, you should be taking advantage of. And that includes comments on other people's posts. It makes me insane when people throw away those opportunities. You're in the middle of a conversation with someone who already has authority power. They can highlight your area of genius. And yet you'll say, that was so insightful, or good job, or way to go, or something that's just, it doesn't cause a conversation to happen. And that makes me crazy. That really makes me crazy. They're being introduced, or they're on a networking or a virtual networking event. And they say, hi, I'm Lisa Epelinski. I'm the editor-in-chief of Indie Books Center. No. Hi, I'm Lisa. I am the authority on authority power. I could stop there. People be like, what? What's that mean? And then I can do the rest of my defining statement. We want to continue to talk about our area of genius in such a way that it's clear what we are known for, who we are known to, and why people would want to talk to us.
I like that. I like that. Now, you're prolific. You know, there's books, there's newsletters, there's speaking, media. You know, how do you personally stay visible without burning out?
So I imperfectly execute on a storm starter strategy. Say that three times fast. So every morning, instead of going and like, you know, strolling through TikTok or Facebook, I go into my social media channel of choice, which is where I know my Right Fit clients live and who are open to my message, which is LinkedIn. It could be Facebook for someone. It could be Instagram or TikTok for somebody else. It's where you know your Right Fit clients are. So it's a target-rich environment, and they are open to your message. They're looking for something to help them with their problem. And you just happen to be there over and over and over. I spend 5 to 10 minutes each morning going in. You know, again, within my program, I have a series of things that I teach everybody to do that I practice. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And it doesn't have to be a huge time suck. And again, you can imperfectly execute on it. If you go in and you spend 2 minutes, it's better than nothing. You go in and spend 10, that's great. But you don't have to feel like, oh my God, I have to spend hours and hours and hours. No. And again, I live in the world of multiple right answers. So if doing podcast interviews for you feels a little uncomfortable, maybe do one. Maybe be selective.
Yeah.
If doing a live TV interview for you is like, hey, I've never done that, try that out. And if you're always showing up with your area of genius and your message is repeatable and relatable, it will connect and people will hear it consistently. And we want consistency.
That's
but
good.
It doesn't have to be, you don't have to go crazy. I didn't start out with 5 books. I started out with 0 books.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did one. You know, I have several thousand followers. I remember when I hit my first 100. I remember when I hit 500. I remember when I hit 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to start somewhere. It is okay. Wherever you are, digital marketing, authority power is like a climb with no summit. Wherever you are, you still have 100% to go. Just pick something and try it. Pick something and do it. Take an action. That's the hardest thing to do, to get over that inertia to take an action. But once you start doing it and you see the response, it will give you the additional confidence to keep going and try something else and do something else and do something else.
Yeah, I like that. Now, you said the best time to build authority is when everyone else is pulling back. So what's one bold thing? What's one bold thing you can encourage our listeners to, you know, an action that they can make right now to lean forward while others are hesitating?
Yes. This is, I love the strategy. I use it early and often. And I learned it when I was in high school.
Okay.
Which is hilarious. I was ranked. So in my high school, we ranked everybody. And I was ranked like maybe 70, 67, 70. And the advice my dad gave was, in your senior year, everyone else is going to goof off. You can actually move further up in the ranking faster with the same amount of effort because everyone else is going to be leaning back doing nothing.
Okay.
The same goes for in uncertain times when people are hesitant. If someone is hesitant, think about if you're at a starting line for a race, if the gun goes off and no one else starts running and you run first, and then they go, yeah, maybe I should start running. You've already given yourself this gap. That's fantastic. I love marketing in environments like that because you get so much more traction because you were like one of the only 2 or 3 people that are showing up. Fabulous. Yeah. When you're doing that, again, I live in the world of multiple right answers. There are so many things you can do that are free. I'm going to say that again. There are so many things that you can do that are free. You can post. You don't have to do fancy graphics or fancy videos. You actually don't have to do that. Just show up, have some value, and talk about it. Share your area of genius. Talk about something that happened. Talk about a client discovery or something that a client got out of working with you.
Yeah.
People love stories. Do that. If you are commenting, you can pick one influencer that if you got on that influencer's radar,
yeah,
you could set the world on fire. And I'm sure, Jim, if I asked you who that North Star influencer is for you, a name would immediately pop up in your head. Mm-hmm. Stalk that person. See what they post about. And then when they post something that is like a soft throw over the plate for you that talks about your, that allows you to talk about your area of genius, do it. Hit it out of the park and do that consistently. You know, I don't think you have to do a ton of stuff. I don't think you have to kill yourself. I don't think you have to spend a ton of money. It's showing up in a different way for your audience. So that they are going, wow, you know what you're talking about.
Mm.
How do I work with you? What do I do? And I'll give you an example. So one of my North Star influencers, and again, someone that who would never hire me ever in the history of the universe. He has 300,000 followers on LinkedIn. He's totally good. His name is Toby. He posts things that I think are brilliant, and I love reading his stuff. And if something speaks to me, I comment on it. And he was talking about investing in yourself and taking the time to build your own brand, even if you're working for a company, because no one's going to invest in you other than you. And I love that. And so I talked about, you know, investment in authority always pays off. That comment, one comment, just one. Within 10 minutes, I got a LinkedIn request from someone. Then she asked me, how do I buy your books? Here's the link to purchasing my books. And she's like, thank you so much. I've been struggling with getting more revenue in, and I need to do things differently. And I looked at your content, and I have a lot of content out there, and I think you're the catalyst to get me there. Can I have a call with you? Someone who was never on my radar, but she saw my comment, and that led her down her discovery path of my authority. It's these types of small human moments that touch, move, and inspire so that people want to work with you.
I love that. Well, we've shared a feast today. It's been really, really good. Lisa, I love how you remind people about clarity and generosity and turning your expertise into influence. I love your message about authority and becoming authority. And I love that concept of being relentlessly helpful to leaders everywhere. So if you're listening to this podcast and you want help with your organization, there's our website, CLM Consulting, and you can download the Ultimate Leadership Audit. And if you want to follow Lisa at 3dogwrite.com and on LinkedIn, I'm going to have those postings of her links in the podcast. And in these uncertain times, I want you to look out for the noise and look to the authority. Anything that people need to know as far as contacting you or engaging you, Lisa?
So as I've taken on this new role that I'm now part of Indie Books International, The easiest way to connect with me is on LinkedIn. Send me a connection request. For the love of all things holy, subscribe to my newsletter. I give away so much free stuff. It's almost criminal. And if you want to purchase one of the books, that's great. If you're like, hey, I can't afford to buy the book, message me. I will send you a copy of one of my books. I'm happy to do that. I'm here to stand for your success and help you move the needle. And when you connect with me, when you subscribe to my LinkedIn newsletter, reach out and say, hey, I'd love to do a 30-minute consult call with you, and I can help you get clarity around what you're struggling with. And I will say, and I have to say this as the new editor-in-chief of Indie Books International, while the pathway to author can be just a plethora of different things, you can't spell authority without the word author. So by making yourself an author, you have a physical thing that will get you on podcasts, interviews, live TV, TV shows, quoted in Forbes, New York Times, having a book. And again, it doesn't have to be, it can be any kind of book. I actually don't care. Just take a stand. Decide what you want to be known for. Write it down and publish it and go, yeah, that's me. This is who I am. That would be awesome. Gotta put that out.
I love that. Well, audience, thanks for listening. I'm Jim Ketting, and this is Speaking with Authority. Till next time.